commands, we're in chapter 16, 17. Today we are going to finish chapter 1. And then next time we go to chapter 2, which is a continuation of chapter 1. It's verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jews first, and also for the Greek. That's for the Gentiles. 17. For it is the righteousness, for in it the righteousness of God is what? Revealed. The righteousness of God is revealed for the Jews first, and also for the Greek. 17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith, what? To faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we've been looking at what it means to be saved. What were we saved from? These are basic things that every Christian has to be familiar with. If you are not familiar with them, you will not acknowledge them, especially if challenges come your way. If challenges challenge your faith, challenge the things you say are true, because those are the things that they will challenge. If you are not grounded and rooted in these truths, when the enemy challenges those very things, you will crumble like a pack of cards. That's why the scripture says we should be rooted and what? Grounded. Because winds try to uproot it. So you must be grounded in this salvation thing, understand it very well for yourself, and be sure of what it's talking to you about, and know what you've been saved from, because they will try to test you on those grounds. They will try to reimpose those things on your life. And if you don't know, you just be one of the people who blend in with this slogan of I'm saved. You're going around and say I'm saved. It doesn't mean much. Doesn't mean much at all. There's a lot of people who say, are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. Are you born again? Yeah, I'm born. But they don't understand what being saved means. Don't even know what being born again means. And if we don't know these things, we are going to try to save ourselves from what already we have been saved from. And that's a disaster. That's a serious... You already thrown in the towel right there. When the enemy attacks you on these grounds and you try to produce what only Christ could produce on the cross, what you are telling to the enemy, you don't know what you are doing. So if you don't know what you are saved from, you will try under pressure, under stress, under challenges to try to produce them. Instead of standing your grounds and say, the word of God is here and what? And fight it enough. And we do know there is no other means of providing distance. There is no other what? Means. If you're trying any other means, you're just wasting your time. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other means except what Christ did. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name. Neither is there salvation in what? Any other. For there is none other name under what? Heaven. Given among men whereby we must be. You cannot reproduce what only Christ can provide. It's just a waste of time. And people do that all the time. This thing is cutting. Do that all the time. And if Jesus didn't die, then our faith is a waste of time. Total waste of time. So we need to understand and grasp and be grounded in what salvation provided for you, because every man's faith will be tested. So when those tests come, you stand on solid ground and fight it off. You can stake your life on it. You can stake your life on it. And the gospel of grace is the means through which the benefits of the cross is conveyed to an individual. The conveyance belt that carries the benefits of the cross is through the gospel of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that tells you basically what God has done for you because of his love for you, because of his grace. The gospel is the conveyance belt. The gospel is the carrier. The gospel is what? I want to hear you say that. The gospel is what? Come on, say it louder. The gospel is what? Is the carrier that brings it to you. So when you receive the gospel, you receive all the benefits it brings to you. When you reject the gospel, you reject everything. And so the Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto what? Salvation for those that believe it. So the gospel brings us this benefits that we have in Christ Jesus. So we talked about the fact that Christ died to save us from the wrath of God. You must be familiar with this one, because if you are not familiar with this one, the devil will keep handing you, and anything that happens is telling you this is God punishing you for this, punishing you for that. And I've seen a lot of Christians who have been deceived and who are suffering because they're accepting this thing from Satan, thinking that it is God, when it is not God. Praise the Lord. Come on, I said praise the Lord. And so you need to understand again that we've been saved from the powers of Satan. Everything that the devil can do, we've been saved from them. And from all evil, all of them. Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks unto the Father. Is this working okay? Giving thanks unto the Father. I think it's getting into my mouth, my friend. Go away. Go away, my friend. Okay, good. Giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He says God has qualified us, that made us meet, his old Victorian age English. Means that we've been qualified. You are qualified now to inherit all the blessings of the saints in light. And the light is in the gospel, in Christ. That thing, one of them is, who had delivered us from what? Power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. I was so thrilled. You know, I was visiting with our sister, Nkemawubun. Man, we had church. She preached sound sermon to me. I was going to take offering. I'm telling you the gospel truth. She was talking real truth. I said, you come to a point of zero tolerance for the devil. I said, that's the starting point. You must come to a point where there is zero what? Tolerance for the devil. And not only the devil, zero tolerance for sin, zero tolerance for anything that's not of God. You must have that zeal, because if he sneaks in, causes you trouble. He said, I don't let the word that is not from God escape my mouth. He said, one is coming, I say, no, 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 no. I'm an oracle of what? I said, that's, you know what you're talking about. If you visited her, she will preach to you. And pretty soon you'll be converted. I'm telling the truth. That's what I'm talking about. Exactly what I'm talking about. Must be grounded and rooted in these things. So much so that you have the abundance of it in your heart, that it comes out of where? Your mouth. So we've been delivered from the powers of darkness. If you have been delivered, say amen. But all you need to do is to stand your ground and defend this truth. Fight the devil off. They will not take this deliverance, this freedom from me. I have it. Are you kidding me? you fight off, fight it off. But if you are not going to fight it off, they are going to put things on your neck, and all you do is complain. And so we are seated with Christ in spiritual authority, higher than even angels. Higher than even what? Angels. 1 Corinthians 6:16. Begins to tell us how we have come to enjoy this privilege of authority, sitting with Christ where he is. It says, what? Know you not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two said he shall be one flesh. 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is what? Is what? Come on, is what? Come on, is what? Come on, louder. Is what? Louder again. Is what? One spirit. With who? Christ. It's one spirit with Christ. And that's why we are members of his body. That's why we are part of his body. 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he that is... Okay, we just read it now. So that's why we are members of his body. Because we are joined to him. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Now, if I'm joined to Christ, and Christ is seated in a position of authority, where am I supposed to sit? Where he is. If you are not rooted and grounded in this, you will not exercise that authority. You will not. You will not. And they will try to frighten you with what is happening around you. But you can bounce back and say, I have authority, what? Over you. I just shared there about a sister, I think yesterday, a brother that got saved in one of the crusades in Russia. He got saved and the Lord healed her, or healed him of something, I think it was cancer or something. Something that was serious. Gave his life to Christ, got baptized in the Holy Spirit. 3 days saved, he went back to his village and started bringing all the sick people and praying for them. And they were being healed. 3 days saved. No Sunday school, not. Just 3 days. I heard the story about a brother here in Newark that R.W. Schambach had a crusade, and then he told him, he said, today, I'm not praying for you. He said, I'm going to give every one of you a bottle of oil. You go out to the city and pray for the sick and anoint them with... So one brother went to UMDG. And he went to one floor and was anointing them with what? Oil. And then after that floor, he went to the second one. But as he was coming, I think somebody died. So he saw the doctors and things. I think they were finishing, you know, what they do to screen the person off and things. He waited. This is real story. It's not made up. He waited. So when they finished and left the body, he went in there, anointed the body with oil, rebuked the spirit of death, the person came to life. So there was commotion. Because the man got up from his bed. So they started to run all over the place. And then they called police to arrest him for disturbing the peace. Real story. So they arrested him, put him in jail, and they didn't bring him to court for 4 days. So when the judge saw that he's been arrested for 4 days for simply disturbing the peace, he got mad. He said, this should not happen in America, to arrest somebody without court order for 4 days. And so when they brought him, the judge was apologizing to him. He said to the judge, he said, you don't have to apologize. He said, I had 4 days anointing all of them with oil. He said, one preacher came and told us we should go and anoint people, because it was a misdemeanor, so they didn't hold him like a criminal. So he had the freedom to. So he said, I've anointed virtually everybody in the prison with oil. He said, you don't have to apologize. He took 4 days. He said, the only thing is, my oil is now remaining small. A real story. And then the judge leaned forward and said to him, I said, you know, I support you because the church is not doing what you are doing. They should be doing that. That's what the judge told him. And released him. And here was Chambak doing crusade the fourth day. And the brother came in shouting from there. And then began to tell the story. And he said, you told us to go. So I went. I didn't even think twice. He said, I simply believed what you said. And you told us we could raise the dead. So I went, I saw a dead person. I said, wow, this opportunity. Praise the Lord. You have no idea what authority we have. Brethren, you have no idea the authority God gave you. I was sitting in my house. I was watching somebody preaching. And the Lord began to minister to me along this line. And he said, do you know why you are baptized in the Holy Spirit? I said, yeah, it's to witness. He said, so how, what do you mean witness? I said, preach the gospel. He said, I baptized you with the same anointing I gave my son to do exactly what my son did. Exactly. Heal the sick, raise the dead. Exactly what he did. He said, the anointing, the spirit that came on you at baptism is the same spirit that came on him in Jordan. It's not different. Praise the Lord. It's not different. He said, you two have been anointed to go around doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. But you are not doing that because you don't believe what I'm saying. Brethren, we have authority. Can you tell your neighbor what I said? So we are seated with Christ where he is. Can I hear amen? And we do know that we are joined heirs with Christ. Which means whatever Christ has, we have. So if he has authority, we share in the same authority. That's Christianity. That's what God intended for the church to be doing, to do the work that Jesus did. We are his body. We are his body. Praise the Lord. So we are seated where the head is seated. We are sharing in his authority. And so we are free from the dominion of Satan. We are totally free, completely free, free indeed, totally free. Question is, who will believe that? When they challenge you with stuff that wants to bind you, instead of you saying you can't do this, I've been set free from you, and you can't put it back, you just stay there and they're putting everything. Ephesians 2:4. Let me remind us the level of authority we have. Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. 6. And had raised us up together. See, the word together is with Christ. Together with Christ. When he died, we died. When he rose, we rose. Together. And made us sit together. How many togethers are here? Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us. What, how? Together. That's number one, together with Christ. By grace you are saved. 6. And had raised us up. What? How many now? And made us sit what? Together. Where? That's in spiritual authority, in Christ. We died together with him. We were raised together with him. And we are seated together with him in the place of authority. Together. 3 times. Together, together, together. And we are still together. Together. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, and every name that is what? Named, not only in this world, but also in that which is a, that includes angels, seated with Christ. There's no higher authority than where Jesus is. That's where you and I are seated together with him. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. We used to have one brother. I won't call his name. But he was very rich. So the wife got saved and the man refused to be saved because he was a member of a cult. And then we were doing life center in their house. He would come and sit with us, but he won't go to church. He won't give his life to Christ. Kind of was mocking us, really. Then we just were new Christians. And I thank God for the person that was leading us. It's important who you follow. I'm not kidding you. If you follow a wimp, you end up being what? A spiritual wimp. Our brother was ready to serve Jesus. And I love that. I followed him around. I said, wow, this is good. I've never seen anything like this. And then he said, let's go pray for that brother. I said, let's go. And then when we got there, the brother got sick. So the wife told us, and we went to Maryland to pray for him. So when we got there, the brother said, we cast out these demons. I said, shall we do that? And then we we rebuked him. The man got well. The man got well. And told us this story himself. He said, when you people were preparing to come, he said, I heard those demons saying, these people are coming. And when they come, they'll cast us out. You see, they even know what you have. But you don't know what you have. He said, I heard them. He said, I realized that you people really have something greater than this thing I'm following. He said, yeah, I heard them. They said, they are preparing to come. He said, those two people, if they come here, they will what? Cast us out. They knew. They knew. And we too knew. Yeah. So we got there. We kicked them out. Kicked them out. Why? Because we're seated with Christ. Where? So that on earth we exercise his authority. We are his body. He walks through his body. We are his body. We are his what? Body. We are representing him here. Then in verse 22, the same Ephesians 1:22. I had put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all things. So we're free from the dominion of Satan. Now we're the ones that have dominion. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Well, I don't tolerate anything that's not from God. I don't have zero. And if you start talking to me and start telling me the devil is doing this, I'll frown at you first of all. You say one more time, I turn away from you. I'll look at you and they're saying it again, I'm going away. I don't want to hear what the devil is doing. Tell me what Jesus is what? Jesus said, my father walketh even now. I walk. I want to hear what he's doing. If you have problems, come and share with me your problem. Don't come tell me the devil is doing this. Are you his evangelist? If you are his evangelist, I don't want to hear your crusade. Because those words can penetrate my spirit. I don't want to hear that. Pastor, the devil is the devil. Are you his prophet? I want to hear that. If you have issues, come and talk. We'll talk about your issues. I can talk about, but don't you ever come tell me. If you know it's the devil, so why are you listening to it? The voice of the stranger, you shouldn't hear. I'll look at you once, twice. If you don't stop it, I'm walking away from you. I don't need that. If you come and tell me, Pastor, wow, if you know what God is what? I said, let's sit down and talk, because it will edify my spirit. Praise the Lord. You see, the things you hear can ruin your faith, can even ruin your life, can destroy your miracle. What you give your ear to. You see, when the Bible says, guard your heart with all, we think it's joking. We think it's something you have a luxury and option to be. You don't have to hear everything. I'm telling you now, you don't have to. One pastor was sharing with us in Lagos how all of a sudden, driving to work, he started to sing, "Now Tom Tom, now him be Tom Tom," advert for Tom Tom. He said, I said to myself, where did this one, do you know where I came from? When he's driving and hearing radio, they start, before long, he picked it up. And on his way to work, he'll be singing without thinking, Tom Tom, nah, Tom Tom. He said, my God, so the words I hear can get into me without my knowing, and begin to produce, come out of my mouth. I said, are you kidding me? You don't have to hear twice. I'm not joking. You don't have to hear what? Once can ruin your life. Once. It doesn't have to be twice. And so we are saved from the dominion of Satan. We now have the dominion. If you have the dominion, I want to hear you say amen. No, your amen is not this. I mean, people with dominion, my friend. If you have dominion, I want to hear you say amen. Amen. Do you know you are not pleasing God if you are not reigning? You know, church talks of obedience. Every time I talk of it, I just sit there and be looking. It's not Ten Commandments issue. God gave you something, you are not using it. You think you are pleasing God? You think God is excited? What cost him his son? You are not using it. Saved from the cost. We are all saved from the cost. Can I hear amen? Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the cost of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Faith. We have been redeemed from the curse of the law. The curse is something that's not a blessing. Is sickness a blessing? You won't talk now. Is it a blessing? It's not a blessing. Is poverty a blessing? If it's a blessing, don't go to work. Lose your job and enjoy poverty. Not a blessing. When you are being separated from God, it's not a blessing. It's not a blessing. You used to be excited about Jesus. All of a sudden, you are no more. Something is wrong. It's not a blessing. We've been redeemed from the curses, all of them. All of us. Once you are in Christ, you are free from curses. Can I hear a big amen? Romans 8:2 says something. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. The Bible says we are free from the consequences of sin and death. Because Christ brought us life in place of death. The soul that sinneth is shall what? But the gift of God is eternal life, and it cancels out this one. You don't operate under the law of sin and death. You live under the law of the Spirit of life. Because Jesus came to give you life, and give you life how? More abundantly. More abundantly. See what God told somebody in the Old Testament. This king saw Israel. Israel was, they were moving like a mighty army. They were conquering nations. And then the man got afraid and said, they are coming now. It's just like hiring a native doctor to go and do juju against you. So the man said, I need to get somebody to curse these people. If I don't curse them, they will come here and deal with us. So he figured there was this man, powerful man of God. His name was what? Balak. His name was what? Balak. So he sent in gifts. He said, come and curse these people for me. They are too strong. The only way I can stop them is place a curse. And he sent gifts. When he sent gifts, God said to the man, don't try that. He sent more gifts. He said, I'm not good. The man sent more. He said, okay. Let me go and ask God what God wants me to do. Because more gifts has now come. Maybe they send messages. Who knows? And finally, he went. And God used an animal to talk to him. Now, what I want to bring out is what God told him when he was thinking of going to curse the people of God. In Numbers chapter 22. Verse 5. And he sent therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river, land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out of from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, and do what? Curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure, I shall now prevail. You know, that getting a native doctor to come do juju against you. That's what it looks like. Curse me. That we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I would that he whom thou blessed is blessed, and whom him thou cursed is a He said, man, I see you have power. So come and do this one. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hands. And they came unto Balaam and spoke unto him the words of Balak. So they brought rewards of divination. That's the money they were bringing to the man. Now verse 12. And God said to Balaam, verse 12. I want us to read verse 12, everybody. Thou shalt not do what? Why? Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are what? Who blessed them? God said, you can't do that. Your curse won't work. I already have pronounced blessing on them. You can't negate my word. If I open a door, no man can shut it. I bless them, that's it. There's nothing you can do about it. Did you understand what God is telling him? For they are already what? Because they are blessed. They are the descendants of Abraham. They are totally, God has blessed them. Is it not the same blessing of Abraham you have? So how can you think you are in a better covenant and you can be cursed and they couldn't be cursed? How do we Christians think? They could not be cursed. They were not sons of God, but you are. And God said, God Almighty said, don't try that, my friend. You can't curse them because they are what? Who blessed them? God. Now you are in a better covenant. Jesus became a curse for you so that the blessings of Abraham will come upon. So how do you believe that you can now be what? Cursed. Are you following me? Curse is zero. Can't work. I say curse is what? Can't work. I remember sometimes somebody threatened to curse me. I laughed. I just laughed. You know, I was just a new Christian, very zealous. Man, I just started to get insight into these words. If it's not, I won't laugh. But then I laughed, which was really ignorant. I said, you know what you're going to do? I said, you're wasting your time. I said, if you pronounce that, it will come back to you. I said, this person you see is impregnable. And that's true. Fortified with the presence of God. You curse this body, you curse Christ in him. He won't walk. I'm joined to Jesus. You can curse me. If you curse me, you are cursing. I'm joined to Christ. You're cursing both of us. Guess what happens? You know, then I was a baby Christian, but I got hold of this. Today I won't say that. I would have just sat him down and taught him how to love one another. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. You cannot be cursed. I can't say it enough. You cannot be what? Cursed. I don't care. Remember this man. They said, you have power. We've seen you do this before. So now come and cause this. God said to him, don't try this. Because now you are crossing my way. I am the God of heaven. I have spoken with my mouth a covenant blessing. It's not just blessing. Covenant. You know what he told Abraham? Anybody that touches you, when you curse him, you are cursing me. You are cursing me. Remember, somebody took Abraham's wife and a curse hit them. Because it's a curse to sleep with somebody's wife. I read it to you now. It's a curse. It's a curse of the law. You say you shall marry and somebody will what? Sleep with her. It's a curse. It's not a blessing. And they took Abraham's wife. It's a curse. And God showed up and said, you are a dead man. The person you are taking his wife is a prophet. And the whole family became barren. You have no idea who you are. If you have an idea who you are, stop fighting. The battle is not yours, Adam. If they want to curse, let them waste their time. Let me see who can. The planting of the Lord cannot be uprooted. The blessings of God, it make it rich and can never add. So come and answer, let me see. I make God a liar. I will tell the devil, I say, you can't make God a liar because you are the liar. You have the blessing of the Lord? Eh? How many of you have the blessing of the Lord? So it does not add sorrow. So when someone says, I want to add sorrow. No, I laughed when I was a baby Christian. I won't laugh now. You know what people do when they are angry? They think they can curse you, intimidate you, and all of that. If you're a mature Christian, you love them. Because they don't know. Let all the native doctors in your village meet. The blessings of God make it rich. And what? How can you ask sorrow to that? It's not possible. If you ask sorrow, you make God a lie. Can't ask sorrow to that. Are you blessed? You can't ask sorrow now. But you know, people go and believe their cost, and then exactly what I said. If you don't know what you are saved from, the privilege that Jesus gave you, you go and try to reproduce it somewhere, and you're wasting your time. Wasting your time. They used to pray midnight prayer, where they vomit things, and then so some of the teachers while we were living started joining those things. And after a time, one of them came to me and said, I'm tired. Number one, I don't get enough sleep. Number two, every night I'm vomiting something. I don't know what I'm vomiting. He said, number three, things are getting worse. I said, are you tired now, really? He said, yes. I said, no, you don't have to do much. Repent of your foolishness. Don't get rid of your stupidity. What God gave you is so dignifying, so glorious. It's so marvelous. Doesn't demand anything from you. God puts no burden on you. All he said, believe, and you shall see the glory. I say, you are trying to become Jesus, create what Jesus already gave you. Why don't you simply believe the gospel? That's all you need to do. You want me to join to pray for you with fire? No, sir. Go back to your faith. That's your victory. You don't need any prayer. Now, all you need to do when you go back to your house, sleep. Go to bed and do what? Sleep. For he giveth his beloved receive sleep from him and sleep. When you wake up, you are fresh, you go to work. She knows who I'm talking about. We go and create a lot of trouble for our lives because we listen to junk. You don't have peace, you don't have rest. You are trying to fight curse, trying to fight the ancestral spirit, papa's spirit, grandfather's spirit, grandmother's spirit, and the fight never stops. fight. In this, and before you know it, the spirit of fight is your life. If fact, you become cantankerous. Do you know what it means to be cantankerous? Quarrelsome. Because you are fighting. Everybody's fighting. You fight your wife, you fight your children, you fight flies, you fight cockroach, you fight everything. You become suspicious of everything. You live in total fear. And let me tell you, living that kind of life, mark my word, troubles are never stopping. They keep coming in different forms until they take your life. God does not give us the spirit of what? It says it is in quietness and confidence. You possess your what? Possession. I told the sister, I said, I don't want to hear that some people come to your house and hear you praying. I said, that is anxiety. So it's anxiety. It's anxiety. If you believe, you'll be confident. If you know, you'll be confident. You'll be confident. You know, you give God thanks. You stand firm. You'll be confident. I say all that anxious prayer. You think is that? I mean, the weapons of our warfare are not what? It has nothing to do with you. It's God. It works through God. It's God. It works through God. It's not carnal. It's not flesh. It's not your voice. It's not that. It works through God. But you have to be confident in what God has what? Said. And guide your heart with all diligence. Praise the Lord. And she stopped that. And things moved around immediately. Doesn't take anything. Things. I remember a sister that came to this church and sat around me and told me, he said, Pastor. He said, that's why I joined this church. He said, first day I came. First day. And you stood there and said, there's a sister here. And then you told me, you said exactly what I've been passing through. And the moment you started to pray, something hit me on my head. I sat and pam, and the whole thing was gone. I said, really? He said, the whole thing was gone. I was okay. But he said, I don't want to tell you how much the prophets have taken from me. He said, I'm so ashamed to say it. Say, Pastor, and while they were taking, I was fighting with my husband all the time. There was no peace in that home. He said, I didn't know that Christianity is this sweet. No stress. Nothing. Just rely on Jesus. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Amber, I didn't hear big word. I said, praise the Lord. Yeah, yesterday again, another sister came to me and said, Pastor, wow. He said, do you know why I came here? I said, I don't know. He said, the first day my husband stepped in here, I used to hear, and you said something that was happening between us. And the man ran out and called me. He said, you need to, I want to see you, please. I'm not making it up. Yesterday, he said, I want to see you, please. Please, oh. And then they saw. And he said, I now came the second time. He said, I didn't really want to stay. I just wanted to. I don't even know why. I parked my car. Immediately I sat down there. You said something about me. And I looked at my husband. She looked at me. I said, wow. Praise the Lord. Nobody under the curse. You are not under what? God, can I borrow your this? No, your book. Don't go take what God didn't give you. Please. God didn't give you curse. You know, don't go take what God did not what? Give you. Leave it alone. If they give you, tell them, God, take it from you. It's not in Christ. It's not my portion. Because we sing it, the Lord is my portion in the land. Okay, that one you are taking, is it from the Lord? So why is it your portion? Who gave it to you? Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. One time I got to bath and I had pain from here. Pain. I said, now, devil, in my restroom, I didn't need to come out. I know it's him. I said, Satan, listen. You don't put anything here. It's not from God. I don't take it. You are a thief. I said, I give you 1, 2, 3. Talk, take your things and come on, run. In Jesus' name, I don't want to see you. I said, in the name of Jesus, I'll crush you with that name. Come on, run from this bathroom. Don't enter here again. He packed his things and did what? Vamoosed. Got it. He vamoosed. Because he didn't come from God. It's not my portion. And if you deliver, I will throw it what? Back to your UPS. I know God's UPS. It comes through the word of God. When he delivers from UPS, I know it. It is contained in the living word. We are not cursed. Don't listen to anybody that says you are cursed. Because if you accept that, you have accepted from the delivery UPS. And you have problem. Because as a man thinking in his heart, so he is. So we now come to verse 17 that talks about the righteousness that God gives us. Now we are moved away from verse 16 and 17. Now he's talking about verse 17. It says, Romans 1:16-17, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is what? Revealed. There is something that is revealed from faith to faith. From faith to faith. The more you believe, the more you understand it. The more you believe it, the more you understand it. The more you believe it, the more you what? It goes from faith to faith as it is written, the just shall live. In other words, it is your faith that will bring you justification. It's not justification that brings you faith. It's your faith. Justification is already provided. It's your faith that receives it. Amen? So we come to that verse 17 now, where Paul began to talk about this gift of righteousness. This gift of what? Righteousness. But I want to send out a warning. A what? The Bible says that wicked people do not, that they're never happy when you talk of grace. Because it runs contrary to their heart. Let me repeat it again. He said that wicked people, when you talk of grace, they got angry. Why? It runs contrary to their mind state. They abhor it. They think it's stupidity. So I'll show you in the Bible. Isaiah 26:10. Isaiah 26:10. Let grace be shown to the what? Look at it. Let grace be shown to the what? Yet he will not learn. No, he will not change. Because he's wicked. He says, in the land of uprightness, he will deal unjustly. I will not behold the majesty of the Lord. He will see the glory of Jesus. If you show the wicked grace, he won't change. Because his heart is geared towards what? Wickedness. So if you tell him that God is wicked, he say, yeah, now you are talking. If you understand me, say amen. Because what we are going to talk about, the gift of righteousness, is grace at work. Is grace at work. So Paul says that in through the gospel is revealed this righteousness of God. Righteousness of who? I didn't hear you. Righteousness of who? I didn't hear you. Righteousness of who? It's not your own righteousness. It is different from the new man that God created. It's not the same thing. The Bible says, put on the what? The new man that is created in true holiness. And the new man is a person. It's a creature. The righteousness you are talking about is a robe. It's not a human being. The new man is a new creature. The new man is a new what? Creature. Created. God created a new man. They're not the same thing. If any man is in Christ, he is what? A new creature. a new man, a new personality, a new spirit, whose nature is being created to be like what? God. But what I'm talking about is that God gives to your credit his own righteousness. They're not the same thing. Come. This man, before he came to Christ, he was dead in sin and what? Trespasses. When he came to Christ, the old man was crucified. And God did the most powerful miracle by creating him a new person. When God created Adam and Eve, he rested. Creation was not done. This is where he ended creation of man. So when he came to Christ, God created him a new creature, a new personality, a new spirit that has God's true image. And the Bible says, put on this new man in the spirit of your mind, which means believe that you are not what you used to be. Put it on in your mind. Believe so. Because as a man thinks, so he will. So it's a different thing. It's a different thing. But now, because, come, I'm not done. It's a new man. But God comes and takes God to come. God has a bring your, let's use a notebook. Just for purpose of illustration. This is God now. If God wants to give him, this man, something, God owes this, right? And then he gives him this. It belongs to him, but he what? So God is righteous and holy. This man cannot, in real life, be as holy as God. Why? His flesh. He hasn't received the new body. So this flesh interferes with what the spirit inside of him wants to do. And the Bible said there's always a struggle. Come on now. Right? He said because of that, you don't do always those things you want to do. And because you don't do always those things you want to do, you are not attaining to the perfect righteousness in your behavior that God demands. God doesn't demand 99%. He demands what? And God says, okay, since he still has this flesh, I will credit to him my own what? Perfection. So when he comes before God, God accepts him because of the righteousness that God has given him as a gift. So he was created new man. But in real life, the new man is not having control 24/7. And so he's making mistakes here and there. And those are sins, right? So he's not as perfect as his creator. And his creator says, I know you are flesh. So I will attribute to you, I will credit, like you go to an account and credit somebody some money. Now you will understand money now. So now God credits him his own what? Righteousness. But this crediting was not available in the Old Testament. Because this man was still dead in sin and trespasses. He was not a child of God. He was not a member of his family. So Paul said that the gospel is revealing something new. That in it, the righteousness of God is what? Being revealed. So God is taking his righteousness and attributing it to him. Why? Jesus paid it all. Praise the Lord. If any man is in Christ, he's what? Before Christ came, there was no new creature. Moses and all of them, none of them was in Christ. So there was no new creature. No price was paid for it. But Jesus came and paid the price for it. So God can made us new creature, and he paid. So God took the righteousness of Christ, which is the righteousness of God, and said, you have it. Because you are joined here with him now. So his righteousness is now your righteousness. So whatever belongs to him, I give you. Is anybody following me? Eh? So when you come before God, you come in the name, you know what you're saying? I'm coming on his own righteousness. I don't have anyone to bring. And God said, yeah, I gave it to you anyway. And the purpose of giving it to you is so that we'll have fellowship. So that I can have opportunity to teach you, to help you, to guide you. Because if you don't have it, you can't come near me. Can't walk with you. Because I'm a purer eye to behold what? You can't come. But because of the blood and the sacrifice, you can come. Even though you haven't done everything right. But if you don't come, you can't improve now. I'm the one to teach you. The one to enlighten you. And the one to make you understand what life is. And you can't have it unless I have fellowship what? With you. So if you come and I make you better and you go from glory to glory to glory. But you can't get it if we don't share, if we don't talk. Praise the Lord. Thank you. And church, can I tell you something? If you don't understand this gift of righteousness, you will be a spiritual wimp. You never have boldness. The devil will see to it. This is the key to boldness. The righteous is as bold as what? You will never be bold. You can come to church and pretend you are. But when the chiefs are down, you can't be bold. Can't be bold. And you can't reign. Because without boldness, you can't reign. There's nobody who reigns who doesn't have boldness. You can't reign. It's one of the major problems that Christians have. Major. And that's what we're going to crack by the grace of God. So you understand it. So next time you'll be as bold as what? Lion. And when you come before God, you won't come with evil heart of unbelief. You come with what? Full assurance of faith. Trusting. Trusting in the blood of Jesus. If you understand me, say amen. So we're going to go there, but not this night. Because my time is gone. I'm going to see how the prophets prophesied about this, that it is coming, and how it was consummated in Christ. And then Romans chapter 2, we tell you how the Gentiles are sinners. Chapter 2, we tell you how the Jews are sinners. Chapter 3, we tell you how both of them are finally unrighteous. None is righteous, no, not one. And they begin to tell you that's why the righteousness of God is given to us. Then it comes from there to chapter 5. It teaches you how we live our lives, why we are sinners, what Adam's sin did to us. And then chapter 6, it talks about how we are free now, that you've been set free and no more a slave because you're under the grace. Chapter 7, it talks about the struggle that a Christian has, but it comes to chapter 8 and says, you know, because of Christ, you are now free. And talks about how your mind has to be renewed so that you don't become a carnal-minded person. So if you are carnally-minded, you die. You cut off from God. But if you are spiritually-minded, it will lead you to life. It's a journey, an interesting journey. I pray that you come along and we walk together. Praise the Lord. The purpose of this is by the time we finish it, you really understand this nitty-gritty of Christianity and let them operate in your life so they see the difference. It's like day and night. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I don't know if you got anything tonight. Are you cursed? I'm done.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.